All right, hang on. Okay, we're going to do an ad, and I'm going to get this in one take. All right, so Google, Apple, Intel, Pinterest, Nest, and Uber will all be on stage, and so will VCs from your favorite firms like Forerunner, Cowboy, Shasta, Trinity, and DFJ. And what would Disrupt SF be without a Golden State Warrior on stage? Well, this time Kevin Durant will be joining us too. But perhaps the best thing of all is that your favorite little podcast, this one, will be doing a live show. That's right. So Katie Roof, Lindley, and myself will be recording Equity for a live audience on Wednesday, September 18th at noon on the second stage. So come watch what we do for you. If you haven't gotten your ticket yet, head over to TechCrunch.com/DisruptSF and enter the promo code Equity, EQUITY. If you can't spell it, Google it. If that doesn't help out, Google it again. At checkout and get $1,000 off the price of general admission, which is kind of a bonkers discount. I've been told to read this, but that's still a surprisingly high number. So come hang out with us, boo us, whatever you want to do. We will see you all there real soon.
Coming up on Equity, Equifax was hacked and 143 million people were affected. We'll tell you what you need to know. Welcome to Equity. I'm TechCrunch's Katie Roof, joined by my colleague Matthew Lindley.
Hello.
Crunchbase News Editor-in-Chief Alex Wilhelm.
Hey, guys.
And our special guest today is Ilya Fushman, who's a general partner at Index Ventures.
Hey, guys.
So a lot of people were hacked. They might not know it yet because they may have never signed up for Equifax, but 143 million people, which is a lot. Almost half of America.
44%.
Yeah. So a lot of people are affected by this. And we've been trying to find out more. It sounds like you can sign up to find out how if you were hacked. But there's
Kind of.
It didn't really work for a lot of people, the link. And then there was a lot of concern about
So let's talk for a second about how a $15 billion company was able to leak the Social Security.
Maybe $18 billion.
Social Security number, date of birth, name, and pretty much every other piece of identity information that you need to basically be completely and very, very thoroughly hacked.
So what is an Equifax? I guess is what you're saying.
It's a credit score.
First of all,
it's a credit score. Yeah, sorry.
Yes, yes. If you're out of the loop and you don't check your credit scores, they're one of the main companies that does that. And so that's how, you know, if you're buying a house or basically like any sort of financial transaction in life, like if you're opening up a credit card, what have you, this is what gets checked. So it's an important number, whether or not it should be, that's a separate question. But not everyone had the same information hacked. So we should be clear that the majority of people, it was their Social Security number hacked, but it was a smaller number. I think it was a little over 200,000 that had more information, like their bank account information, other like data that you really don't want out there. So most people didn't have all of that information hacked.
So how dangerous is it for people that didn't have their credit card leaked or hacked, but may have had their other personal information hacked? So what I'm not clear on is how much danger am I in as a potential victim of this fiasco?
Well, I mean, Social Security numbers are still important things that you don't want taken because all sorts of things use the last four digits of your Social Security number to verify. So it's definitely a huge problem.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so like try calling your bank or something like that. What are they going to ask? Can I please have your full name, your date of birth, and the last four digits of the Social Security number? Okay, how may I help you?
Take your date of birth off Facebook.
You're in a lot of danger.
Yeah.
Everybody. So we're just all in it together.
This is basically like the worst hack in American history.
It is the worst hack in American history. And it's a shame because the Social Security number is so important, yet it's a very static number. And it was invented in 1936. So we've been using this as an identifier since 1936.
Before there were hackers.
They were hackers, but not digital hackers.
Okay.
Back then it was called forgery.
I don't even know what that is. Exactly. Pirates.
But not the pirates on BitTorrent, the pirates on ships.
Well, no, yes. No. Let's put this in context there, right? So you know, Yahoo, when they got hacked, it was something like a billion accounts that were hacked. LinkedIn received a major hack, and the ramifications of that were people started to figure out that, oh yeah, people reuse the same password over and over and over again. And yet, now this is like 143 million people that will know, like, your actual identity can be stolen and they can open up credit cards. They can try to open up bank accounts. They can try to do
medical records. The challenge is that everything, really everything is moving online. So much of your financial identity, so much of your medical identity, so much of your personal identity, your family's identity is moving online. And this really gives you direct access. And, you know, you can talk about things like two-factor authentication as a really great mechanism for consumers to protect themselves. But guess what? You can try to port a phone number using your social security number, address, date of birth, and take over your two-factor authentication. So really, this is a pretty significant hack.
Bad people are going to exploit this. Well, that's so prediction.
Why do we still only have a social security number then? Like what? Like where? You know, there has to like.
Have you been to the DMV? That is the scale of technology that I feel like our state and federal government runs on. So the fact that we're still literally tying our entire lives digitally to a physical piece of paper you got when you were born is not shocking to me. Is it depressing? Yes. Bad? Of course. Shocking? Nah.
Do you know where your social security card is right now?
It's in the cupboard above the computer in the kitchen.
Note to self.
If it's not there, it's gone.
Next time I go to Alex's house. Oh, I mean, you're probably already hacked anyway, so what am I
Yeah, I mean, like, just call Equifax.
But if you were evacuating, like, a hurricane, not that anyone would be right now, would you remember to bring your social security card with you?
Me personally, no. And then I remember it, like, the next day, and be like, ah, crap.
Well, so, okay, but again, like, how the heck did this happen, right? Like, I mean...
So we don't know a lot, right? But what we do know is it was a web application hack, right? So people came in, compromised the Equifax website, got in, and got access to this data. Now, why did this happen? We can only speculate, but primarily probably because there's just not enough investment in security at the application level. The reality of the world today is that everything's moved from kind of server boxes in your storage facility, server storage facility, and your network security to application security. And 30% of attacks today come through the application side of the world, but only 3% of security budgets are spent there. So, you know, we have companies like Signal Sciences that try to protect websites and web applications. But most, I think, archaic old organizations that actually sit on a lot of this really vital data aren't just not upgrading their infrastructure quickly enough.
I mean, you have some experience with this. You used to be at Dropbox.
Right.
What did you learn from that?
Well, the biggest thing I learned from that is if you really want to protect yourself and the critical information of your users, you need to have an incredible security team these days. You need to rely on the latest services, and you need to be really, really good at communicating with your audience if anything happens. And I think in this particular case, none of those things really happened. And the reality is that, you know, Equifax could try to build up a great security team, but what great security engineer wants to go work at Equifax? Probably none. They want to go work at a place like Dropbox, like a Facebook, like a Google.
Well, it's in Georgia, so maybe if someone lives in Georgia, they would want to work there.
Maybe.
But yeah, I mean, just to clear the timeline really fast, right? So the company basically identified the hack in July, right?
And
July 29th.
And this is an important timeline because of...
We'll address this later. But so it was identified on July 29th. And then we found out about it yesterday.
September 7th. So
that's almost like July.
Yeah, this would not fly at a tech company, right? Like when you at a tech company find out there's any potential threat, even potential threat, I'm not saying real threat, potential threat, you communicate with your users as fast as possible. You get into a war room, you get a crack team together, you get consultants in, and you try to resolve it within a matter of days, if not weeks. This timeline is pretty darn long for such critical information.
Especially for a public company, because if I were a public investor who bought stock between that time frame, I would want to know why I wasn't notified. I would want my money back. Like, I would be pretty pissed. So I think that there's definitely going to be a lot of questioning, and they're going to have to answer why they didn't notify people yet, because they had a fiduciary duty to tell public investors about material information.
So, I'm sorry, go ahead.
That reminds me of something that I do want to talk about, is that Bloomberg, I noticed that they had several executives selling shares right after this hack happened. And this is very interesting because, they sold shares the first week of August. The company says they were notified July 29th. They say, though, that those employees didn't know, but it's very surprising. And while we don't know the specifics of what exactly happened, maybe they just, for some reason, hadn't notified some of their C-suite executives, which
CFO.
Right, like CFO. Why would you not notify your CFO about the hack? But the whole thing is surprising because I would normally think that this kind of scenario would be considered material information, and you're not supposed to be selling your shares without disclosing material information to the public. But we don't know, you know, I don't want to accuse anyone of anywhere I'm doing because like, we don't know what happened, but the timing is surprising.
I think the phrase not supposed to is slightly too polite. I would go with very, very illegal to trade on material internal information. So we're not making allegations, to Katie's point, but like certainly there are questions that need to be answered before the public can be put at rest when it comes to these particular timeline issues.
Well, I mean, I feel like in a post-Yahoo world, right? I mean, when you're talking about if I'm an executive at a company and I already saw what happened at Yahoo and seeing the kind of impact of disclosing a hack of $1 billion and the kind of that it'll ding actual real value off of my company that I'm trying to sell to Verizon. Sorry, Uncle Lowell. One would think that you would hold off for just a second, which is what makes this like the timing again is just very, very, very interesting, right? I don't know if I'm not an Equifax shareholder, but I can't imagine that people are.
Sorry.
Oh, you're not? Okay. I had huge doubts about that, Lindley. Thank you for clearing the air.
No offense to any Equifax shareholders listening right now.
I mean, y'all got pwned, but.
Yeah. The stock is down, what, 13-14%?
Yeah, it went down almost 14% in trading today. So they lost like about $2 billion off their market cap. And so, definitely not a good day for the company. And I'm pretty sure not going to be a good next few weeks or months or even years.
No, I don't think so. But to something we talked about a little bit earlier, I'm surprised that just such a little teeny company can do this much damage. I mean, this is worth one-fifth of one Uber. And yet the entire nation is just wrapped with attention about this because it's such a disastrous moment for
credit scores.
Literally everyone in this room.
Yeah.
Credit scores is such a critical part of what you do, right? I mean, we have an investment in a company called Nova Credit, which is building credit for internationals who come here. And the learning there is if you want to get a car, a phone, an apartment, not even mentioning a bank account or a loan, like you need a credit score. And, you know, luckily for them, they've been building everything on very modern infrastructure using the best latest services. So hopefully they're protected relative to Equifax.
Knock on wood.
But it just underscores how important these services are and how critical it is for them to reevaluate their security practices.
Yeah, I mean, does this mean that maybe this is a moment where we kind of sit back and reflect and be like, do we need to rethink credit scores, right? Because if all of this is locked up around such an archaic piece of information of security, like just a 8-digit number, right?
Now you're going to get all the pitches about the Starbucks disrupting.
Sorry, nine digit number.
That's actually Lindley's actual number. He just went out right there.
Well, there are many problems with credit scores, right? Yeah. One is I don't think they're particularly reflective of people's financial opportunity and health, right? And you have companies like Affirm building new ways to assess credit, which I think is incredible. And to me, the other big issue here is just the Social Security.
That's Max Levchin's company.
That's Max Levchin's company, right? You have a pretty big issue with Social Security as an identifier, right? Like, it's really, really silly. I mean, you can probably figure out anybody's Social Security number today.
867-5309.
Also, Lindley's actual number. No, to your point, though, how can you do that? I mean, how insecure is the average person if someone really wanted to ruin their life?
I think people are pretty darn insecure, and I think that's really the bummer here. I think American consumers, more so than the stock price, are really going to be affected by this. And you know, I think people fail to do very simple things like turn two-factor authentication on, actually read the emails that you get from like Facebook that says maybe you didn't log in on this computer that you thought you did. Phishing is probably the most common way that people get kind of pwned today. And
what is phishing for people who don't know?
For phishing, when somebody sends you a note saying, hey, I'm your friend or I'm your friendly service that you like using, please click on this link, put in your password and log in. And then they've got your credentials and then they take over your financial account information.
We were looking up startups before the show and we were talking about Affirm and Credit Karma and SelfLender and Nova. And I think they're all working inside the current credit system, aren't they? I mean, these aren't companies that are looking to totally reinvent how we approach credit. And I wonder if we need a bigger...
There are several who are like, oh, we want to change. It's not that they think they can override these credit agencies, but they're trying to have a new score that they are saying is better at evaluating whether you are a good person to loan to or sell a home to, whatever.
Well, most
financial services organizations do, they don't just flat out look at the score. They have their own algorithms. They use this information in conjunction with other sources of data. But the credit score is still something that you put on your rental application. It's still something you provide when you're trying to get a mobile plan sometimes. It is something you need for a loan. And so the credit score as a number, I think, unfortunately, is here to stay for a while until kind of the overall infrastructure changes. But I do think that companies like Affirm and others can have real impact on how people compute the score and how they actually use it.
Yeah, when I first heard the news, I was like, oh, I have good credit. I don't know if I care if anyone sees that. And then I was like, oh, no, they took my Social Security number.
Oh, you thought they just leaked your score?
No, I just saw the headline and I was busy and I like wasn't that worried. And then I was like, oh, no, this is really bad. Very bad news. So I don't know. I mean, I think it's one of those things where in talking to people in the last day or so, like everyone had kind of heard about it, but like some people didn't know how bad it really was. And I'm sure the stock and will continue to go down, and there's going to be a lot of negativity around this company in the coming weeks once people realize how much this could potentially impact them.
Yeah. Can I do one more Dropbox question while we're here? It seems like there's a big cultural rift between tech companies and their approach to this sort of crisis management, the way you outlined it, versus Experian or Equifax, whatever. Why? Well, you know, different companies, same name, similar names. Why does that technology ethos of quick responses and you know, fast notification to users not persist across other industries? Why are we here today learning about a July hack when tech companies wouldn't approach it that way?
Well, part of it is I think, honestly, just a legacy way of doing business where these companies are more used to communicating with their users via snail mail, if at all, or a call center. I think a bigger part, though, is that companies that are providing new services like Dropbox have just been under a lot more scrutiny. I think people have historically been afraid of the cloud. They've been afraid of new services. And so you had to develop a almost overreaction and a stronger reaction to these kinds of issues as a tech company versus a more traditional company where historically, if this had happened before the age of the internet, nobody would have probably found out about this for a year.
Yeah.
That's insane to me.
Yeah, that is crazy. But I don't know. Again, because it's a public company, like regardless, even though it's not a tech company, I would think they had a fiduciary duty to inform the public. And I'm sure they'll be doing some explaining about this in the coming months. I mean, you know, perhaps they didn't realize the extent of the hack. We don't know if they just knew that there was an attempt. We don't know exactly what they knew. So, but it is surprising that they have confirmed that they knew something or other on July 29th.
I think
so. That was a while ago.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, when you are in a company like a Dropbox or a Slack or a Facebook or a Google, I think what you talk about a lot is user trust and trust of your customers. And I'm not sure how deeply ingrained that is into the cultures of some of the companies that have been around for a bit longer. I think when you have the opportunity to switch between services as quickly as you do in the new and kind of the new world of being able to download apps and kind of authenticate and migrate very effectively. I think there's a stronger emphasis on thinking about your users and connecting with them much more efficiently and quickly than you would in the world of, hey, everybody has to have a credit score, everybody has to use it, so your customers are kind of locked in.
So you want to get rid of Social Security numbers. What do you think is a better alternative? What do you think we should do?
Well, I think Social Security numbers serve a reasonable purpose. I think more so for me, it's really creating a more dynamic authentication system, one that is maybe closer to things like two-factor authentication that knows it's really you, that is more indicative of you being present in that transaction, even though you can't be there in person, but having some kind of additional signal to that. I just think a static number is pretty easy to fake.
I feel like in the future, like we're just gonna have some sort of like wearable that's not even gonna be a watch. It's just gonna have all our like info that you can't. That's gonna be like attached to us. You can't even steal it.
All you have to do is.
I don't know. I'm definitely just making this up on the fly.
Dude,
but
Katie, just throw in some blockchain, steal that thing tomorrow, retire, and then never call us again.
But
I think you're right. But I'm curious if we have the technology we need to actually make something like this that's secure. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm being a pessimist, but I feel like nothing that's out there right now I think would be unhackable or unbreakable. And biometrics are certainly hackable.
Yeah, you know? You can take a picture of somebody's Instagram and use all have them face recognition. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, But hey, if somebody has a killer idea for this, please send it my way.
Yeah, he's accepting pitches. He's an investor.
That's right.
It's Ilya@ivegotmoney.tumblr.com.
Don't blame us for all the terrible pitches you're going to get. No, actually, our listeners are definitely smart.
And look, at the end of the day, I don't think it's about one solution that fixes everything. It's about layers. It's about being attentive. It's about paying attention. I do think that hopefully the outcome of this is that consumers themselves will demand stronger security from the services they use, pay more attention to these kinds of signals. It's about layering on. At the end of the day, when we talk to, when we think about investing in security companies, there are kind of a few core themes. But one of them is it's not really if you're going to get hacked today, it's really when you're going to get hacked. And the question then becomes, how do you find out about it as quickly as possible? How do you respond to it as effectively as possible? And how do you kind of evolve and share information? And the good news is, at least on the tech side, companies like Dropbox, Facebook, Google, Apple, all of them collaborate together on sharing information about the latest hacks. So there is a community of security experts that try to stay ahead of attackers and protect the consumers.
And so, speaking of protecting the consumers, there was something with Trust ID. Everyone was wondering about if they signed up, they were looking up their social security number, and there was concern at one point that they would be automatically opting out of this class action lawsuit. But it turns out, and you can read more about it on TechCrunch.com, that you don't automatically opt out of a class action lawsuit related to this latest hack. It's going forward related to signing up to this new Trust ID service.
So you can check with confidence.
Yes. Yes. At least
check back later.
Yeah, but you can only check back later.
That is what they claim. But be careful about typing into your social security into the web. Just be careful.
Well, now you tell me.
I did, but only it's only partial.
But what if Trust ID?
Yeah. But whatever, it's already hacked. Everyone already knows. We're ruined.
One company has to ruin all the fun for everybody.
Oh man. All right. Well, on that note, thanks for tuning in. Come back next week.
All right, everyone. We want to say a special thanks to our producer, TechCrunch's own Christopher Gates, our executive producer, Henry Picavet. Thank you to Katie Roof. Thank you to Matthew Lindley. And thank you to you for leaving us that 5-star iTunes review. That's Equity. We'll see you all next Friday.